Hello, this is Miloš Milošikev, and you are listening to Somebody Like It, the podcast.
Okay, I wanted to say this before we get started today. I found a Zima in the refrigerator.
I was wondering why that was there.
Yeah, so this is a beverage that I have not had since my senior year of high school.
I don't think they've produced it since your senior year.
Well, no. I think it's important to note that they are producing it.
I was going to say, this is not like a... I mean, when did I graduate? 10 years ago. So, like, this is not a 10-year-old.
You graduated from high school 10 years ago?
This is not a 10-year-old. Yes, I graduated from my high school, like, 10, I don't know, what, 9 years ago? I can't keep up with the math.
It's 19 and holding.
Yeah. So, so I'm going to open the Zima now and taste it and tell you guys about it briefly.
I hear it sucks.
Oh.
Well, who knows? I'll let you know.
Man, that was underwhelming.
Theater of the mind. How was it?
It really kind of doesn't taste like anything.
This is already taking way too long.
Well, we have something in common then. I'm drinking a Coors Light.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Ryan's drinking. Yeah, it tastes like a sweet Coors Light with not as much carbonation. And I win. Okay, let's go into it. I'm Shane.
Ryan.
I'm Mark.
I'm Kevin.
And somebody likes it. So I had a little bit more of the Zima in between when we were waiting for Mark to...
Are you transformed?
We're all waiting with bated breath.
Okay, so it's a little fruitier than initially on a little fruitier nose and flavor. It's sort of like if I were to take some Starburst and dissolve them in that Coors Light that you're drinking. However, it's a burp machine, so I need to stop drinking this thing. Like, I think...
That's why you're going to stop drinking it.
No, because if it's there, I mean, I learned this in alcohol abuse, buddy. I put it back, that's alcohol abuse.
Okay.
Were you ever like 17 years old at a keg party?
Seemingly yesterday.
Yes. Well, it was for me. Remember, I just graduated.
It was only 9 years ago, according to Shane.
Exactly.
I just graduated. So I don't know, 8 years ago, okay? If I have
terribly,
to think about it.
Terribly bad at math.
All right, so I have a little thing I want to address. It does end up music related, and it does end up in a happier place than where... It's going to start.
Oh, God.
It's a long tail on this kite, I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alan Alda has Parkinson's disease, which he's just gone public with, which sounds bad, you know.
And it does.
However, like, he's dealing with it really well.
Are you going to say that Shaky Graves is playing the...
Oh,
no.
God, Kevin.
No. I'm not going... I'm not going there.
Waiting for that one.
I don't know that I have. Sorry.
But anyway, like he's been dealing with it well, and he's like very positive about it. He's not, you know, upset or anything. But there is a music related thing to this, and so he's, you know, kind of been staying active. And Shane, I'd like to read this top paragraph here in the NPR article about said condition regarding Mr. Alda.
Alda later posted a video of himself juggling with the words, "If you get a diagnosis, keep moving." He said he takes boxing lessons 3 times a week, plays tennis, and he marches to Sousa music.
Yeah, and just Alan Alda marching to John Philip Sousa.
Just anybody. I'd like to imagine him with like one of those like old-timey, like the Music Man hats, you know?
Yeah, just, you know, like...
Well, you kind of feel like after a certain point, like moving... Only angularly to music is probably like a legal requirement.
Could be. I don't know about legal, but
yeah, I wasn't.
Sorry, you were kind of experiencing something there. Remember, 45-degree angles. That's Alan Alda getting pulled over by the dance police.
Yeah,
I have no idea what's coming out of your mouth right now, but.
We're like four and a half minutes in, and this thing's already off the rails.
I don't dislike it. Oh, by the way, like, so we're in a new room tonight.
We are.
And I'm loving this. Like,
it's kind of echoey in here.
I've got the boss.
Shane's got the executive chair.
I've got the chair that you lean back and it makes your fingers go like this.
This is the wall of sound. We got the wall of sound here. Like, it's a little bit. It's a little echoey. Kind of a Best Coast record.
This should be like a good whatever it is that we're doing.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
If you're gonna like have like sounds of like Halloween sounds of bats or ghosts. This would be a good room to do it in.
We're the ghosts of bats.
Yeah. Well, either one. It's Halloween.
I saw them open up for Halloween.
I assume they're from New Zealand.
I feel like that could make some fun sounds, but instead we're going to have to make sounds out of our own mouths about a thing that I wish wasn't in my life.
Yeah, before we get into this, like, I think it's fair to it's a fair question to ask, Shane. Why?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Okay, so let's go into and before
Thank you, Mark, so the record
we're doing this week is Warren's Cherry Pie, and I have a couple of things I want to say about it. I really enjoy leaning back in the boss chair because I was the boss this week. So I picked out the 1990 record Cherry Pie by the glam rock band, glam metal band.
Hair metal, whatever.
Well, we ought to talk. We need to talk about the difference.
Okay, so these are the things that I think about this. Okay, so... It's the law of diminishing returns for me when I'm trying to fuck with you guys vis-a-vis these albums. Because the first time I tried was Bon Jovi, and that was a fucking home run with fucking with you guys. That is one of the worst fucking albums I've ever heard in my life.
Terrible record. Better than this one.
Oh, no, it wasn't better than this one. You're totally wrong about that, yeah. Man.
Not by much, but...
No. Just give me a second. And then the second one was almost as bad, as, which was Poison, Open Up and Say Ah, which this record makes, that record makes this record sound like Hemingway, you know. This is bad. This is bad, but I think it's split into three equally bad, well, three equal parts, pretty much. It's got the songs, the shitty fucking stupid ass, like Cherry Pie, Two-Way Lovin', I mean, there's a couple of those, and then there's the incredibly boring fucking power ballad songs, and then there's, like, two solid fucking rock and roll songs on it. Like, I hate that shit, but I mean, like, you know, props were props to do. There weren't any on the other two preceding that.
There was one that kind of vaguely reminded me of Boston towards the end
of the
record.
There's one that made me, that the fucking second song on a record sounded like Billy Squire. You're fucking... You get a hard on for Billy Squire.
I do like Billy Squire.
Okay, so but it sounds like a Billy Squire song. I mean, the second song on this record, and we'll listen to it here tonight, Uncle Tom's Cabin or whatever. Like, it sounds like take your fucking T-tops off and drive around the goddamn reservoir after midnight. I mean, it's not a bad song. To my chagrin, this was not as bad of a record as I wanted it to be, and I feel so. Disappointed in myself.
Oh, dude, I hate it enough for both of us, man.
Like, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's bad. It's bad. But don't let the extremely bad parts of it let you forget that it actually has a couple of surprisingly solid songs on it.
If Schadenfreude was your ultimate goal here, I think you succeeded.
No. I don't think I did. And that's my point. There were.
Oh, you did.
There were.
Trust me.
I'm telling you, from my point of view, I wanted it to be bad. And it wasn't. There were at least two solid songs on this, which there were not on Slippery When Wet or Open Up and Say Ah. So and I was surprised.
I would listen to Open Up and Say Ah three times in a row every day for the rest
Why
of my life.
Why would you say that?
Before listening to this record again once.
How? How did you listen to the whole record? Because there are...
I listened to it. No, I will give you a couple caveats. I didn't listen to it on Spotify because I didn't want Spotify to get the wrong idea and start throwing me shitty albums.
Fair enough.
That's a wise move.
That's a fair statement.
I just listened to it on YouTube.
Here's some suggestions.
And so I don't actually know the names of most of the songs.
There's nothing as egregiously fucking... There's some idiotic shit on there. But like from start to finish, there's the level of musicianship...
They can play their instruments.
No, I thought it was surprisingly solid in comparison to the last one that I did. I was shocked, actually.
So
like,
I still haven't been able to ask the question that keeps tumbling around in my noggin, and it's this. Shane, when you pick this record, and I'm genuinely asking you, like, this is not a I'm not setting anything up. Like, Did you pick it specifically to fuck with the room, or did you
yes.
or did you pick it because you think bad records make good podcasts? Not that they're mutually
both.
Exclusive ideas.
Both
but
of them.
Like,
I think both. Listen, what I wanted this record to be was fucking start to finish as bad and horrific as the fucking title track, Cherry Pie. And
Do we have a lowest of the low? Like, is it?
It's better
meatloaf?
Than meatloaf.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better than meatloaf.
It's really like I think you're underselling it. It like go back if I were to force you to have to listen to open up and say ah and listen to this record. This record, I mean, basically sounds like Mad Men as opposed to like Full House or something like with open up and say ah. Like
okay, so Poison could write.
I'm saying
could
it's,
write
it,
like kind of catchy hooks that despite yourself you're like
no
yeah that's
it's,
kinda, that's
but,
kind
but
of
that's
a hook
but that's what I'm saying. It's more boring than it is fucking like over
it
the
is
top.
It is fucking boring.
It's boring as shit because it like 3/4 of the record are like, you know, 12 string power ballads.
Poison,
like,
I can listen to some of those songs and say, I can understand why there are people out there that like this. I could not get that from
yeah,
this.
I'm with you, brother.
I cannot
yeah.
understand
it's
why.
More, that's what I'm
would
saying.
Like
it was more boring than it was like flagrantly over the top offensive. And I was going for flagrantly over the top
well, this
offensive.
Record, this record happened to come out at around the same time that I was becoming like a righteously indignant against everything.
Me too.
This is.
Don't get me wrong. I fucking hated this
and
record.
And like I was
dude.
In like full on like, you know, college rock, you know. R.E.M., Smiths, Pixies, Cure, like everything that is the opposite of this.
Get your bingo cards out.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I think Mike still
I,
might be
I
the
I think
only
the
one.
Next iteration of the bingo card is going to have some mention of the bingo card on it.
Probably.
It's becoming meta
yeah,
at this
it is
point.
A little, it is a little meta. Yeah, no, I mean, I think.
When Ryan mentioned the Smiths, is that the same thing as mentioning Morrissey?
Kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
So. I mean, and I kind of get both sides of the argument here. I do think that it is, ultimately, it's kind of interesting to me. Well, one thing that we haven't really talked about yet is the fact that, oddly enough, Warrant is reasonably well-reviewed, like, in terms of, like, positively reviewed. Compared to, like, not universally.
Compared
and not
to their
certainly not in
hair metal brethren.
Well, no.
Their contemporaries.
Yeah.
Compared
to their contemporaries.
I'm
like,
honestly
this
not surprised
a,
to like, hear you say that. Like, I wanted it to be bad, bad, bad. Like, open up and say, ah, bad. And it just wasn't, which pissed me off. Like, there's bad stuff, but it's mostly just boring. There's a couple. They do mention Lukumbach, Texas in one of the shitty ones. Like, I forget what the name of the song is, but it was like Lovin' in Stereo, or and he's talking about Hook having a three-way with two chicks or whatever for the first time.
Let me, like, can I share a little nugget before?
Yes.
And then I think
it wasn't a three-way with
a
two other dudes
before too long.
That would make this album a lot more interesting.
So the Sputnik music review of this record is hilarious, but here's a little snippet of it. The guy who wrote the piece says, speaking of Warrant, They are perhaps the one singular band of the glam era to receive consistently glowing reviews both before and after the bubble burst. But perhaps that's the lesson. The better hair metal gets, the worse hair metal gets, and vice versa, or something. And I feel like there is a circular lesson in that.
There's some
like,
logic there.
Like, and it's a little bit like, I don't know, it's a little bit like Weird Al fans. You know, you just like, there's a certain like train wreck.
Well,
popularity to that whole thing where you can't take your eyes off of it.
There was an attempt at depth. I mean, to their credit, it didn't necessarily land, but I mean, like I think to their credit, there was an attempt at depth rather than like, woohoo, let's just run around and blah, 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 you know, guzzle, let's do keg stands until we puke or all, I'm like, you know, whatever. Like, there at least was some intent. It pretty much
failed
miserably.
Are you talking about the degree of innuendo? Because, like,
no,
obviously with Cherry Pie, like, there's
are
really...
You, are you talking about
other,
social commentary like Uncle
other
Tom's
than
Cabin.
Cherry Pie, there, I mean, there are a couple of those songs, like, you know, The Only Hell Mama Raised Was You or some bullshit like that or whatever.
Which
I mean,
is like the inversion of Johnny Paycheck.
I'm saying that in between the lines, they took some stabs at trying to do something a little more... insightful. I don't know, like
deep.
Is that what you're
I,
more
I think
more
so.
Serious?
Look, I'm
though.
Not defending them, Ryan. What I'm saying is that's what I think. Rather than, you know, like I was surprised that it wasn't to the detriment of the record in my mind. I was surprised. I really wanted it to just be all, because you guys know that the original title of this record before the record,
oh, was it Vertical Smile?
Vertical Smile, and yeah. The record company killed it. And I was like, oh, please let it just be so obnoxious. Just when it wasn't as obnoxious as I wanted it to be. Anyway, let's listen to Cherry Pie.
Drumming in the Rain. Now, I don't think there's any of that in this video, but this is that era.
Yeah, 80s hair metal, like there's suddenly like on the snare.
It's
covered with water for whatever reason.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's had like, that song been done before? Because it sounds exactly like She's My
I just
Cherry
like
Pie.
How they up the tension with like going up like a half step.
Oh, you modulate.
Yeah.
I always modulate.
And like... You know, like you thought we were there, but no, now here.
Yeah, because the dad came in, he was swinging with her all over the place, and the dad, who was 6'5", came in and said, "You're not going to swing with my daughter no more." And he got scared, so his voice went up, modulated. Sorry, that was the
just
Zima.
A little bit. Yeah, the Zima's getting to you.
Boy, I'll tell you this about the Zima. Have you guys ever chewed that like zebra stripe gum? That's what Zima tastes like.
Fruit stripe.
Whatever. There's a fucking zebra.
Yeah, there is a zebra on the label.
Well, anyway, thank you for correcting me with the brand name.
Getting back to the item at hand. Like, so the rumor, the apparently, what happened was they put together this album, and the label came to Janie and said
Janie Lane,
the late Janie Lane, and said, "There's not a single." And so he sat down and apparently in 45 minutes or so banged out the song. Now, to me, it sounds like the kind of song you could write in 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Like,
that's fair.
He's like sitting around his apartment. There's a cherry pie out. Like,
he's just looking around.
Like, it's like
I mix like up the batter.
Open window.
And she licks the beater.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Genius.
it happens to be sitting next to some Mad Libs. Like, however that shit happens.
I just wonder how much, like, coke was snorted around the conference table, you know, when the executives were figuring out how to market this. Like, I don't know. It's just...
My favorite Warrant story is, and this is not apocryphal, like, the bass player or the drummer has said this many times, like, you know, Warrant, that was, at the time, like, they were going all in on Cherry Pie, and it was a relatively successful record. And then the next time they went to the
platinum, actually.
Yeah, like the next time they went into the conference or the studio or wherever the receptionist was, you know, to go ahead and talk. Which, by the way, that's always a funny thing, thinking about like dudes from the 80s with their like mini cowboy boots with all this turquoise on, and,
leather pants.
Yeah, like, you know, we're here to see the president of the company. But anyway, they had replaced.
Let's fight this situation with
rock and
roll.
I really want to dwell on that image a little bit longer.
It's a pretty good
like
one.
Like walking up to the receptionist desk, and she's sitting there chewing her gum with her like her permed hair.
And they've all
crispy
got
bangs.
Hair, even big. They have even bigger crispy bangs.
It's her roller derby name.
They had walked in, and like the time that they had been there before, which is just a couple months before, apparently, there was a huge picture of Warrant behind the receptionist. And this time when they go in, there was a huge frame picture of Nirvana, and he was like, "That's when we knew."
Yep.
Oh no! It wasn't Nirvana. It was Alice in Chains.
same deal.
Still,
it's,
I mean, yeah, like shit's different.
Alice in Chains, like, maybe like kind of the bridge between Warrant and Nirvana.
Sure, I would say that's
they were more metally.
They were a little metally, yeah. In my heart. Okay, whatever. But so
I told you about when I interviewed at Sony for an internship. And
you did not.
I've never heard this story.
I hope it's good. At Sony for an internship when I was out doing the satellite program for the RTF program I was in at UT.
And that's a radio
TV. The dude
film.
Had the what's the Rob Schneider franchise?
Adam Sandler.
No, it wasn't. Adam Sandler. It was Rob Schneider. It was like
Rob Schneider. Like
the,
I don't know, Kevin
it was
James,
the sequel
Adam Sandler?
To like
Deuce Bigelow.
Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo 2. He had the poster behind his desk, and I just couldn't take him seriously. And I asked, I said, "Did that movie make money?" And I didn't get the job.
Well, there you go.
I was gonna say, like,
do you think that's why, or is it because the movie didn't make money?
Well, I think that's.
I don't know,
that's
man.
That's definitely like, in there somewhere. Man.
I lost an unpaid internship job. Yeah. Like, I mean, talking shit about Rob
Schneider.
I just don't. I don't know how you could take yourself seriously having that poster.
What was that?
Your desk.
What was that dude's name? Like,
oh, I have no.
I don't
idea.
Know. Efron James. I don't know. I'm just curious.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where you're going with that.
No,
but,
I'm going nowhere.
All right, should we spin another one of these chestnuts?
Already, we had some more. All right, you know what? Let's do this. Okay, so I think
what's the one where he walks in on his old lady? Like,
oh God, it's horrible. I saw a red.
Yeah.
No. What I want to do is listen to the one when we can get back, like the egregious, like if I can get the egregious, like acoustic.
You just find the worst songs on the record. And
no,
showcase
no.
Those.
I'm actually going to play you what I think is the best song on the record, which I don't like personally, but I think that I can view this objectively and say, you know what? You know, this. I could take the T-tops off and drive around the reservoir at 1 a.m., giving fucking Strawberry Hill to, you know, 16-year-old
girls
and loving this song every time. So anyway, let's listen to Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Just for the record, let's get the story straight. Me and Uncle Tom are fishing, it was getting pretty late. Out on the surface, limb above the ocean, where the sea ain't got no bottom, so you take you down a hill. Over in the bushes and on to the right, the two men talking in the pale moonlight. Sit down, pretty and deputy head, falling two limp bodies down to the water's edge.
To circle back to the Sputnik music piece on this, they talk a little bit about Uncle Tom's Cabin and call it probably the strongest example of the country/folk influence of latter era hair metal, Poison and Bon Jovi being the other notables, with finger-tangling acoustic guitar intro and good-time banjo and harmonica action throughout before exploding into a massive riff rocker to rival the best of the era.
There was
that
banjo.
Is hilarious.
That sounds like a different song to me. But
Well, they're like literally that
there was harmonica
sort of
banjo.
Happened.
And honestly, riff rocker, I feel like that was just
a
carbon copy templatized thing. And like... this just sounds like every other fucking riff rocker out there. The guitar solo could have been like ripped off of a track from another album.
Let's talk about the solo. Like, okay,
all the subtlety of Steve Vai.
Oh God! Look, pretty much for me, starting from I would say 1980 through everything past then, like rock and roll, I fucking hate it. And what I especially hate the most are solos, like. Why do they even have to exist? Why do you have to fucking put one in the middle of a song? Like, what is it? Like, I never got it. Like,
I don't know. Like,
But you're, I mean, you're right. It is a carbon, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's like it, a it's shit
the very
song.
Definition like, of like the wanky guitar solos are all over this record. And here's, when listening to this particular song, what really was the most egregious about this record to me was it's that apotheosis platonic ideal of like the 80s hair metal vocalist, like, oh,
he's definitely not a vocalist.
Get your ringtones together.
Like, there was a band in Austin that wasn't terrible, but like, they got signed to like Universal and they were thought to be like the next big thing. And but, Into the New was like one of their songs, and I can't do that type of vocal styling.
Well, and to be fair, like, I think it's probably fair to say that most of us in this room gravitate toward what we perceive to be authentic as opposed to what we perceive to be inauthentic.
CNC Music Factory.
I would say more idiosyncratic, but like this just seemed like blueprint fucking rubber stamp.
That's
like,
the thing that I said. I totally agree. That last song is pretty solid. I never said great or good. Just for what it is, it's a pretty solid fucking song. Like, and like, credit where credit's due in my mind. This record was way more boring to me than it was.
I probably would have liked it a lot more when I was 13 rather than 18.
You're not understanding what I'm saying, dude. I'm saying credit where credit's due. It's not totally shitty. That is not a shit song.
That's a good guitarist. He can rattle off the riff.
It's a fine, solid song. It's a solid for what it is.
Sure.
You know, it's not like horrible. It's not like fucking if I gave my fucking cat a ukulele in 24 hours to master it. You know, like that.
Wait, which one?
Actually,
of your
I would rather listen to that, but. But I
which
mean,
cat?
I don't know. Gremlin, probably.
Okay. All
right. Other kitty?
Yeah, probably other kitty.
Shane literally has a cat named Other Kitty that is only kind of his cat.
He just shows up. Yeah. Anyway, all right, guys. Let's do some intermission music. Mark, you got that?
I got some music.
Let's
right
do it.
Yeah.
A lot of clever going on in this room.
He's back to his old shenanigans.
He is kind of back to his old shenanigans. So yeah,
it's because you don't have
we normally have a visual backdrop.
You haven't pulled the curtain away from the wizard here.
Yeah, so we're recording in a different room tonight, and we don't have a monitor anymore, and so Mark can get away with fucking with us.
Clever, fine line between stupid and clever.
Kevin.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome to A Few Minutes With and whatever that was. But we're going to do, take a few minutes to talk about a track from an Australian band called The Avalanches. And the track is called Because I'm Me.
Wait, the Rango jacket, ball sling, glow, Bronx is only Django. Snap, be a golfer, stopper, that's where my pops go. That's where my pops went. See, my percentage is a pennant to the planet. Knock it out the ballpark, crank it. I should not tie this tie to a metal log. Let the wings spread. It'll always come back, baby. Come back, shellac, black, baby. A comeback, flat, black paint on the Chevy.
Apparently somebody dropped some acid in my Coors Light, and 9-year-old Michael Jackson showed up to, you know, bring things along.
Break dancing, horns,
yeah,
rapping,
plus modern hip hop, sure.
And a full size inflatable actual replica of a human heart.
Of a human heart.
The point is, love is hard, man. That's what it comes down to.
Is that what that meant?
That's yeah, what that meant.
Like
love
a,
is
he
hard.
Was like a 10-year-old boy in love with a hot 25-year-old.
Yeah, he's hitting on a woman in a toll booth.
Yeah.
And
Mark, didn't you do an Avalanches song one time? Video?
Don't think it's the same Avalanches.
Pretty sure it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Oh, maybe it is.
Could be.
Well, and this is Australian?
Yeah.
Yes, there
is.
Yeah.
Okay, it is the same
yeah.
band.
Yeah.
So this, the album that this came off of, this came out in 2000, or was, I guess, produced in 2000. The album that this came off of, Wildflower, was produced over the course of 16 years.
Yep. Yeah, it's crazins. Like, I almost didn't do it because I thought this
Did
would actually
say it's
be
crazins?
Like, crazins. Yeah, I almost thought that it would have been more fun to dive into this as a whole piece of work. But I saw that video and I was like, that is, it's safe to say it does not go exactly where you think it's going.
No.
I'm still not sure where it went.
It kind of never goes where you think it's going to go. He first puts up a dime for a subway ticket.
Right.
So like a partial subway ticket.
Yeah, like a very partial
and
subway
like
ticket.
And like awkwardly flirts with the woman in the toll booth. And
starts throwing some moves, like popping and locking.
Yeah. You know, like he's like an awkward young Michael Jackson.
There's some throwback there in the video for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the video made? How old's the video?
Before.
I think it said 2016.
I think it said 16, yeah.
In Roman numerals. But anyway, full horn section shows up. They start dancing.
Yeah. There's a guy on a park bench who just happens to be an excellent rapper.
Yeah. He just shows up.
It was it's a fun little tune.
Yeah. It is a fun tune.
My life is not diminished.
I don't know that I know any of the sources of these. Maybe you guys do. These are samples from this song. Why Can't I Get It Too from Six Boys in Trouble? That's a track from 1959.
That one.
That sounds like me and all my best friends.
So that was the vocals.
When I was in the 10th grade.
The lyrics that were there.
Okay.
Apart from the Camp Lo lyrics.
Yeah.
Camp Lo, I guess, was the rap lyricist on that.
Right.
Want Ads by Honeycomb. 1971.
I used to really like eating honeycombs.
Yeah. Lip Gloss by Lil Mama. That's from 2007. That's
yeah, they seem like that.
Fairly normal.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we know her.
Recent, rather.
Lil Mama?
Yeah. King Houdini and his Calypso Parliament from 1947 is sampled in that song.
Holy shit, that sounds awesome.
Hey, can I tell you guys something real quick? This is a real thing that happened to me one time.
Is it related?
Tangentially.
Okay.
One would imagine.
I was walking into an HEB and this woman and her friend were walking past me, and this large man was walking on the other side of me, and he goes, "Hey there, little mama," and she goes, "Mm-mm," and kept walking. It was one of the true.
That's
so
kind
of
awesome.
It was so pure.
Yeah.
And then like nobody cared or talked to each other. They just kept.
They just
on
kept
moving.
On moving.
For our friends in Tokyo, HEB is a
grocery store.
It's a regional grocery
Not
store.
Not just a random assembling of
this guy's like six
letters.
Foot five. Hey there, little mama. Mm-mm. That was the end of their discussion with
it's
each other.
So, right. So Kevin, I genuinely think that's a good song, but that may be one of the more confusing videos that we have entertained.
Well, more so than the other Avalanches video that we did?
Yeah, that was maybe one of the most confusing ones, the other Avalanches.
If Shane can
Frontier Psychologist?
If Shane can intentionally choose a record that we're supposed to hate, I can choose a record or a song that's supposed to confuse you a little.
Well, mission accomplished.
I enjoyed the song. I enjoyed the way it was arranged, the samples.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the
I think it's a solid tune. I just don't know what that was.
I want
to
kind of carry
the... You need to know, Ryan. Have you ever watched a fucking, like, David Lynch movie? You don't always need to know.
It's true. I've seen a couple of David Lynch movies.
You know
movies.
What? Look, man, I will get you the box set of the entire... Like every season of the Dukes of Hazzard, those are things that you will understand start, middle, and end.
I've seen them all, man.
Okay, well, so that maybe that's why you think.
I don't know about you folks, but I think them Duke
of David
boys
Lynch,
in
have we
trouble.
Ever mentioned that you used to be in a band with a woman that was on
that
Twin Peaks?
Did you just say a grown up that was on Twin Peaks?
I said
Peaks?
A woman.
Oh, okay.
She's a petite woman, but yeah, she was the person who saw the crime when
that's
Laura
true.
Palmer was
yep.
murdered,
yep.
and she was in a coma the whole time.
Yep.
But yes.
Would you like to give everybody the synopsis of the series?
No. There's something about a log.
This will be like a new part of the show.
Please get back to the show.
All right, let's go back to the show.
Let's go back to the show.
So I didn't actually mention to you guys at the top of the program, and now is as good a time as any before we get back into Warrant. I'm on Netflix.
You're on Netflix.
I'm on Netflix.
You're finally on Netflix.
I've made it onto a show on Netflix.
Oh, I thought you were saying you finally subscribed.
Your personage as a visual is on?
You can see me speaking and living on Netflix.
Guy number three and
something like that? Yeah.
So there's a new
series that's premiered on Netflix this week called Amazing Interiors.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine here.
What's it about?
A buddy of mine here in Austin. Well, it's about.
I'm gonna bonk you in the fucking head with this microphone, Kevin.
I might do that to myself.
A buddy of mine here in Austin was recruited by the show he was moving out of his condo downtown Austin, and he was building a small living space out of a shipping container in his automotive shop out near Lakeway. And I was invited to the kickoff party, went out there, and they interviewed me, and I'm on Netflix now.
And it's called, what is it?
Amazing Interiors.
Okay.
If you check out episode 2.
All right.
I'll
tell you, it's even in the last 5 minutes of the show. You don't even have to watch the whole show.
Okay. Yeah. That guy.
I saw my name in a credit on Comedy Central once. I PA'd on a...
Okay, now we're going way down
on a Bill Engvall
shit
special. Does not matter. And then when they subsequently aired it, my name doesn't show up anymore. Oh, pissed.
I'm sorry.
Sue.
You know, one time I came out of the bathroom when I was in fourth grade and somebody had written Shane as a dork on the chalkboard.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm fucking famous.
And then they
it's
put
those
it up
moments of fame.
I'm famous, dude. Yeah.
So let's get back to Warrant then.
Okay, so I briefly want to talk about this. So here's an interesting... Well, okay, a couple of things. So Janie Lane, who was the singer for Warrant, and by the way, I want to point this out. If you just Google him, where it first comes up, he apparently is Paul Giamatti.
No, he does have a Paul Giamatti face,
and he died. He OD'd on alcohol, which Jesus Christ.
It does happen.
Yeah, I know, but come on.
It happened to folks in the rock pantheon.
Sure, but I mean, okay, but I'll show you a picture of him at the time where he looked like Paul Giamatti. That was like the year where he OD'd. Like, he definitely didn't look like he was in the rock pantheon anymore. But so here's a weird thing that happened. So he was called. Like, he OD'd, he had alcohol poisoning in a hotel room with no money on him. He had
in a
no
Comfort Inn, which I find ironic.
Yes. Well, he went to the final Comfort, Kevin. And so they found him, and the police were called, and they found him. He had no money. All the alcohol was drunk, and they found a note on him that said, and by the way, his name isn't Janie Lane. It's like...
Oh, no, really?
It's something pretty...
It's like John Kennedy Oswald or something weird like that.
He changed it from John Kennedy Oswald to John... He changed his middle name.
Which is kind of weird, though, John Kennedy Oswald, if it...
That, no, that's really weird.
He was born in 1964, I believe, and so I think it was a direct...
So it was a tribute to that.
Yeah.
But
so,
still weird.
That's a weird tribute.
Weird,
yeah.
And so I think that's his name, because somebody pull up and verify that. It's John Kennedy something, but I thought it was Oswald. And so, like, so fucking... So anyway, they find him in the hotel room. The cops show up. They find him. He has no money. He has no... There's no, all the alcohol's drunk. And there's... What?
It's right. John Kennedy Oswald.
John Kennedy Oswald. That's pretty fucking weird. But here's another conspiracy thing in this. The cops found a note in his pocket that said, "I am Janie Lane," not in his handwriting.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. So anyway, I don't know what conspiracy theory I'm going to read into this about J.D.
Like
Lane.
Somebody like force-fed him alcohol?
But I'm pretty sure he's responsible for the Kennedy assassination is kind of what I came to.
Yeah, I think
and
that was
right.
Retroactively?
Right, no, it's some breadcrumbs that someone was leaving for the police. I am J.D. Lane, but not in his handwriting.
Nikki Six, real name, Frank Carlton Serafino Ferrana Jr.
Is that how he signs
his
checks?
You know what? Can I just say this? That's so much more of a badass rock star name than Nikki Six. Like, and you could have a cape
All right. Well, here's a practical problem with that. Tell me what he just said. What his name was.
Frank Carlos Serafino Orale Vato number one school.
Not too bad. Junior. Yes. Not too Thank bad. You. Not too bad.
By the way,
the third,
because I know that you guys have been wondering, but no one has been brave enough to ask, Cherry Pie, number 19 on Rolling Stone's list of the top 50 glam records of all time.
Oh, glam records. Okay.
Well,
I was going to say, if you were going to say 50 greatest
19 of top
check
records
that,
of all
50
time.
Greatest hair metal albums of all time.
Well, 50. How many are there? There's like 50.
I was going to say, are there 50?
There might be. I mean, I don't know. I didn't. And to be fair,
time,
I didn't read all of
the article. What is the number one record on that?
It's
fucking Poison.
It's Def Leppard Pyromania.
I can get behind that, but that's not really.
That also has like the kind of.
Oh, Mark pointed out, not you, Mark. Our friend Mark is visiting and he's in the conference.
Mark number two.
Yeah. He pointed out that Cherry Pie sounds a lot like Pour Some Sugar on Me with the beat and the melody. And that is correct. That is a correct thing that I forgot to say.
I think Pour Some Sugar on Me does do that like half step up thing to like amp up the, you know.
It's called modulation.
Yeah, whatever.
Everybody modulated.
Change key. Warrant, Cherry Pie, number 19, Cinderella Night Song. I mean, these are all awful.
I was a subscriber to Rolling Stone at this time,
Kicks,
and I'm
awful.
Pretty sure that they landed it. I'm pretty sure they landed it like number 8 on like worst album covers of all time.
Who?
Warrant, Cherry Pie.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Hysteria. Yeah, I own that. Ugh. Poison. Look what the cat dragged in. Number 2. All right. Anyway, we're spinning our wheels.
Anyway,
here.
and we haven't really talked about. And this is a question I started to ask at the top of the show, but I haven't asked yet. Which is there? I find that we're kind of using the terms glam metal and hair metal interchangeably. Are they interchangeable?
They are interchangeable.
Are they?
They are.
Yeah, they are.
Name one band that you would call glam. Maybe Gary Glitter is not hair metal.
No. Glam rock is a totally different thing.
I think glam rock
is like Gary Glitter and
New
David
York
Bowie
Dolls.
And New York Dolls and fucking, you know, whatever, Mötley Crüe.
Glam metal and
hair metal are
that Gary Glitter was quite a character, huh?
Wasn't he like a pedophile
or
some shit?
Went to prison.
So...
Anyway.
Well, he's the guy that had that... Or is that
it's a sports anthem.
So, Shane, I feel like we've been building up to what's the best song off of this album that represents what you were hoping to accomplish by picking this album?
I think Mark is looking for the nadir.
Oh, Cherry Pie is. I mean, but what I wanted to do, but we can blow past this and get into another shit song. It was a shit song, what I was going to say. What we haven't discussed is the proliferation of fucking power ballads on this. Because, like, their biggest hit prior to this record was Heaven. Heaven is... You know, whatever. Lighters come out. Yeah, right. Still, to this day, why don't we go out and do this? Seriously. It's magic. Ryan, you and I get together and sing, it's magic. It's
actually, you guys...
This is where the magic happens.
You should legitimately do a, like... Go do a karaoke cover exactly that way and just see. People would either, like, one of two things would happen. You would close that place down legitimately forever. They would make shirts and you would have to come back again and again and again.
We make our own shirts, bring them in.
I'm only halfway, like, not okay with that. I'm thinking.
Maybe. I'm like 100% okay with this.
Like, we go to like a public karaoke night and just like stand up there, do duets.
Turn on Brandy Cutter and the Honeyer.
They're like, is the equipment broken?
Sorry. Right. Don't edit that out, Mark. Yeah,
good duets.
Okay. Lord.
Okay, so anyway.
Somewhere Nat King Cole can't sleep.
So there's the whole like power ballad thing. Like a good third of this record is like shitty 12-string power ballads. Like, oh. I was going to say let's play Blind Faith, but okay, since...
Can we at least mention the cussing thing?
Like, oh, yeah. Ode to Tipper Gore.
With them showing like how...
Why don't we just play Ode to Tipper Gore?
How edgy they are. Because like they know some dirty words.
Okay, let me say this real quick. The nadir of this record, I think, is Love in Stereo, which is the song about how he had a threesome for the first time. Stereo being a woman on the right and a woman on the left. Yeah, and then there's something about being in Leukebach, Texas. So I don't know. I'd say either play Love in Stereo or the Ode to Tipper Gore, which is probably.
Is that the swearing one?
There's absolutely
no color that we can add to Ode to Tipper Gore.
It's a symphony. It's a symphony of subtlety.
It's just a bunch of
live. Why don't you just play a little bit of that?
Parts from
no,
there.
No, no, no. It's stupid. Right. It's just like nutsex.
It's real stupid.
It's really dumb.
And it's kind of low. It's actually lo-fi production value too, and that they're all just.
Oh, that's what you care about?
No, well, no. I mean, the point is like it's a lowest common denominator approach to like doing what they're trying to do because they just cobbled together. Cursing from live shows. Like, yeah. It's fine. Yeah. And I'm sure at the time
and
that
if you were
came
raised
out, like,
Southern Baptist and were 13 years old, you'd be like, oh,
well,
my God.
Well, if you want it to be dangerous, like, air quote dangerous.
At the time, that was Tipper Gore was a real, like, was somebody for 13 and 14-year-olds to rail against, like, PMRC.
Well, yeah, it was Parents Music Resource Center, and, like, they were having them stick... sticker warning labels on records that, you know, had cursing or sexual overtones or whatever, and they turn it out to be like a selling point. Like you,
right? We all
you
know.
Wanted the sticker.
If you're 13, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Shit. Fuck it. Let's listen to Love in Stereo.
Thank you for that sample.
What?
Shit. Fuck it.
Shit. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Janie Lane. God bless you up there somewhere. Yeah. Let's listen to Love in Stereo.
Just such shit. Oh, you're here. You're live. Go.
Oh, are we live?
You're live.
God damn it, dude. Why you do this? Okay, so this is like...
So that's the one that sounds vaguely like Boston, but they like glam metaled it up
I don't
a little
know.
Bit. And
look,
then
well,
threw
I
in
love
a little like Leonard Skinner.
I get what you're talking about.
So,
go ahead.
Can I say something real quick before
I'll
lose sight of it? Before we came back in, like, Kevin is reading about Warren on his computer, and Mark says, like, all right, and Kevin, like, just says, like, basically to himself, he goes, I think we got the gist.
Yeah. It's not...
That's how annoyed he was with...
There's no subtlety in that song. It's not like they're not waiting to reveal anything. Like, it's all shiny and glittery and shitty. Like right
it's
there.
All,
yeah.
It's all on the left and the right.
It is left and the right.
Oh, and he also, we did notice he pulled another, wow, yeah.
So the other thing that I've been struggling with, I mean, aside from the music during this episode, is trying to figure out what reality show that Janie Lane was on. And it was VH1 Celebrity Fit Club 2.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was TiVoing that.
That's the one that, yeah.
The whole season, yeah.
That's the one where he, like, got into the Paul Giamatti suit?
I mean, it very well might have been. Yeah. I don't know. But at the very least, I was like, well, number one, it's just an unfortunate. There's probably a lot of reasons that show's not on the air anymore. But one would be some of the people who are on it dead.
This is actually like germane to the actual show. But did you guys kind of their Wikipedia page was clearly written by a hardcore fan. And did you see how many members they've had over the years?
You are so obsessed with bands that have members, like lots of members. These guys are like on the fucking like greatest hit circuit. Of course they have a lot of members.
21.
Yeah.
And they put out apparently a grunge record. Like
that's
after,
true, they did.
After Nirvana killed their career, they decided to try to join them.
Warrant something. Warrant 96 or something like that. Yeah. I did not get a chance to listen to the grunge record, but you know what? Maybe at some point in the future, we'll all get a chance to listen to it together.
That can only be
so
exciting.
Janny Lane left, 2007? Is that right?
He kept coming back.
A bunch of these guys kept leaving and coming back, and you know, I mean, people knew the name, so they had places to play and some amount of money to make. But
well, money's always
and
nice.
I think the grunge record was about like, you know, like how
I thought you said the brunch record because
the brunch record,
so
dude. I would totally listen to that more than this. Like,
it's pretty bad.
But anyway, one of their records is about like the, you know, the up and down train of fame.
Oh no, I read that. Yeah,
roll.
It was like a rags to riches to rags again. Yeah. Cycle, song cycle.
And you know, do what you gotta. It doesn't sound like these are very bright fellows.
I think I know the answer to this, but like of those of us sitting here, like, was anybody surprised by anything here? Like, you know, because we all probably would
know.
Well,
I told you that. Like, I thought there were a couple of songs on this record that were way more solid than I expected them to be.
That surprised me that Shane said that.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't love them. I'm saying if I were into this kind of music, which I'm not, I'm saying like just trying to be objective about it, there were a couple of songs that I was like, all right, like that's a pretty solid fucking outing as opposed to like a Poison song or something. I was surprised. So, you know, God rest his soul, Janny Lane.
There are a couple of Poison songs that I enjoy more than
you're so
anything
wrong
on this
wrong
record.
Wrong.
That's cool. Wrong. I'm glad that opinions are 100%
wrong.
Objective.
Wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
Wrong.
All right.
Can I just quickly, okay, yeah, I mean, sure. This might take 60 seconds, but I want to run through the names of their tours. I don't know what DRFSR tour was. That was their first tour, but whatever that stands for.
DRFSR? What does that mean?
Their first album, Dirty Rotten
Filthy Rituals. Oh, okay. I love that.
Then they had the Cherry Pie World Tour, Blood, Sweat, and Beers Tour,
Sweet.
Dog Eat Dog World Tour, the Club Tour, the Radio or Not Here We Come Tour,
Sweet.
Belly to Belly Tour, Rock Never Stops Tour. We get into the 2000s Under the Influence Summer Tour, the Metal Edge Rock Fest Tour, the Rock Never Stops Tour, Rock Never Stops, the Born Again Tour, the Reunion Tour, the Summer Tour, the Rockaholic Tour, and then the Cherry Pie 21st Anniversary Tour.
Was the Rockaholic Tour where they were addicted to Rockahol?
Yes. And because our guest Mark is not mic'd, you guys probably couldn't hear him say, the Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich Tour was anagram.
That was their first hit record, right?
Okay.
I believe so. Yeah.
I read something like they played like Rocklahoma, and like Janny Lane got mad and quit the band. That was during some
tour. They were supposed to, and then whatever shitty band they were supposed to play with.
You know, for you sure do know a lot about this fucking band.
I just read about it today.
That hates this.
Hey man, the memories are fresh.
You guys are.
Can someone cleanse my palate?
All right, Kevin, what you got?
No, I had the middle, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan, what you got?
Band called the Shacks.
All right, let's do it.
We've all been around.
this week, at least video-wise.
Video-wise.
That's a cool song. I looked them up on Pitchfork, and it says they use British blues and rock bands of the 60s and 70s, The Animals, The Kinks, Fleetwood Mac as their chief stylistic blueprints. Now, granted, I haven't heard any of the other songs. I didn't get any of that shit.
Yeah, me neither.
What's the name of that band?
The Shacks.
The Shacks.
Oh, I thought it was Shaq, and I just kept looking for him. It wasn't in there anywhere. Like,
yeah,
Shaq, like the basketball player.
Yeah. Well, the really in that? The multi careerist. Like,
how do you walk through it? It would have made just as much sense.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, I don't know. Was she like doing a performance art piece? And
I couldn't
like,
tell. Like, it kind of looked like they ushered in like a bunch of volunteers for some sort of marketing study focus group, and then.
And afterwards,
she starts recruiting them to like look at the floor and trip out to.
Yeah, and then at one point, like she like fluoresces for a second. Yeah. Like I thought she was like basically saying, "Follow me, like to the next world or something."
And
like,
perhaps that's what it was.
Hard to say, but good song though. What did you fellas think?
It was a catchy tune. I liked it.
Yeah,
it's much more up my alley than.
Oh, this is like a hardcore Shane Bartel slam dunk.
Much more up my alley than Warrant Cherry Pie. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, she's a little breathy.
I don't mind breathy.
You said
person.
Hope
I like
Sandoval.
Breathy.
I don't think it was quite as ethereal.
No,
as,
no, but breathy. Breathy like, and like really Mazzy little girl Star voice. Stuff. Yeah. No, the music doesn't sound like Mazzy Star, but I mean, I totally like there's breathy.
You know, she has a similar timbre. She has a similar timbre,
There's a little camera obscura in there. Like,
A lot of camera obscura.
Like,
yeah,
I'll give you that. That's a good one. That's a good call.
Yeah. Which, frankly, like, I have a soft spot for that act. Mm. Like,
yeah, that song's probably not going to change the world, but, like,
no.
The world is better for it.
It's a nice little pop song.
Yeah, it's a nice breeze on a spring day.
I think that I would probably enjoy other selections
like
from
like
their
hanging
catalog.
Up, sheets. Maybe. Outdoors on a hillside.
Yeah, maybe.
What are you talking about? What did you say?
He's talking about, like, springtime.
It's a pleasant, pleasantly uplifting track.
You get a whiff of the laundry detergent. Is that
maybe?
What
you're
kind of going for?
It came out in late February of this year, so we were just turning into spring, and I think that was the marketing move from the label. I'm sure.
I don't know. Let's just kill it for everybody.
Song of the spring. You don't hear that often.
Not a whole lot.
All right. So did we? Thanks for that, Rye Bread.
Yeah.
Wait, my pleasure.
Well, I think who you ought to be thinking. Thanking.
Yeah, see?
Thanking.
See, it's ruined your fucking brain.
I'll be
it's
drinking
me.
To stop thinking about you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that all of you should be thanking me for introducing the majesty of Warrant's album, Cherry Pie.
I am cursing you, but
I'm thanking you that this is finally over.
It is weird, though, when we do these episodes because you get to the end of them and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it's such a relief just to, not have to study for it anymore. But then inevitably the damn episode will turn out good, and then I have to go back and listen to shit all over again. Yeah. So I'm probably never done with it, but thanks, Shane, maybe?
I don't even need to say that you're welcome, because you just should inherently know that.
Yeah. All right, so we're shaking it up. Mark, are you... You're going next.
I'm ready.
Producer Mark.
Do you know what you're going to bring to the table?
Yeah. So I'm gonna roll a little bit back to England, as I like to do from time to time. I'm gonna go with a band that it took me a long time to come to know, and this is an album that I've never been that familiar with. The band is XTC, and the album is The Big Express.
That's a good call for a band. I'd never, ever, ever would have.
I think maybe I've only ever heard, was it Oranges and Lemons?
Oranges
all the way
and
through?
Lemons, yeah. Probably some other Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead or
well,
whatever.
Well, this is probably a good time to mention that I am a little bit nervous about recording the show live in front of you guys. So what I'm going to do for next week's XTC show is record in a closet and then just film in my... I'll just send you guys my parts of the conversation.
I get it
as well. Yeah. But those that maybe don't know Andy Partridge may not totally get that. So we can get into that next week, folks. Until then, I'm Mark.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Shane.
This is Somebody Likes It.